Freedom of expression is essential to a free society. And that's what we have here at Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Your host, Claudio, Renaissance man and bard of WCOM, has opened the doors of the speakeasy to invite you all in to find a seat, get comfortable in the place where you're always welcome and can always expect the very best. Good morning, Claudio.
Good morning. Good morning, Cabro and the Big Chill, and anyone tuning us in, anyone who dares.
You're throwing a challenge out early on this Tuesday morning.
We're going to have a fun morning here. We've got Ronnie Brown in again. We're going to play a little more of his bluegrass album, Here It Is. There's actually a picture on the album cover of him holding grass in a pot that's blue. I don't think you can smoke it. But it's,
no, come on.
We have found bluegrass. We have found the bluegrass. So, Ronnie, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back on the show. My pleasure. And we're definitely going to get into some of that. And we've also got a member, the bass player of the Ralph Stanley Band, otherwise known, actually originally known, you corrected me there, Ron, as Ralph Stanley and the Clench Mountain Boys, who are going to be performing on the 19th of May at Carolina Theater. I'm hoping to stage manage that, but I haven't got the word yet.
Okay.
But Jimmy Cameron's going to call in about 20 minutes or so and fill us in on some history on the Ralph Stanley Band. If you know bluegrass, you ought to know the Ralph Stanley Band. Apparently, he's been around, what you said, since the 40s.
Since the 40s, yeah. It's
pretty amazing.
Yeah. It was the Carter and Ralph, the Stanley brothers, to begin with. And Carter died in the mid-60s. And so it's just Ralph now.
Ralph's kept it going. And you say Ralph's about 85 at this point.
I think he's around 85, yeah.
That's impressive because, from what I understand, he's still kicking pretty strong. So I also want to acknowledge very quickly the historical Carolina Theater, our sponsor, the sponsor here of Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater on 103.5 FM. There's the plug. And, of course, they're coming up on the 19th, so keep that in mind. And check out anything you'd like about the Carolina Theater. Give them your support since they support WCOM here and the Speakeasy.
And that's carolinatheater.org. Whatever.
Thank you, yes.
And that's theater spelt with R-E on the end.
T-H-E-A-T-R-E, that's right, the old way. Also want to give a quick mention of there are going to be some changes, actually, with the Suzuki Japan Relief benefit, which you can actually find at www.suzukijapanrelief.com. To be updated on how they're putting that Japan Relief concert together.
Yeah, well, there's been some changes there. You decided that there wasn't quite enough time to get you really involved in the narration.
I may have to surrender the narration part, and it kind of breaks my heart because I was really looking forward to sinking my teeth into something dramatic.
Uh-huh.
But I think they've got so many musicians lined up and so much to do, plus Michael Danchi and Willinda Atchley, who are putting this whole thing together. They both teach at Meredith, and I think it's coming down to the last minute since it's on the 21st at 4 o'clock at Page Auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the narration is probably just going to prove to be too much to include.
Right, because it's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
It's going to be quite a fascinating concert.
I don't think there's going to be any real rehearsal time either.
Right.
And frankly, as the narrator, I would require at least one strong rehearsal, and I think it might be a little imposing
to
accomplish that.
Too much to add to the pot this moment, because this is a whole new endeavor on their part as well. I mean, they haven't put this kind of thing on before, and it's quite a large undertaking. They're coming after us.
I'm hearing the police sirens.
They're coming to the speakeasy. We got to watch out. We're going to hear that secret rap at the door.
We didn't mean it.
We're not really the speakeasy.
That's interesting. Years ago, I saw this black and white movie of a couple of gangsters or gangster talking to his woman up in a New York apartment, and you could hear the police siren just going crazy outside the window. And I will never forget her line. She looked at him and she goes, "That sounds like a soul in hell."
Oh, my goodness. That's a good line.
Yeah, there's taking you folks a notch down. But when you listen to that sound, it sort of bounces off the walls.
Yeah,
I can see where that metaphor came from.
I guess growing up in the city, and it seems in various places I've lived, there's always sirens going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just got very used to the sound
ambulances
of,
and sirens, et cetera.
Sirens and clanging, and you just kind of just turn it off after a while.
Horns blowing, get the heck out of the street, and everything else if you're living in the city. So, Ron, how are things going at BMF Tool and Die? By the way, I want to mention that Ron makes the best capos in the world for guitar necks.
Yeah, guitars, banjos. Occasionally someone uses them on the mandolin.
Occasionally, you have I'd say you've got a world-renowned reputation for making these.
Yeah,
it's a pretty amazing
all
accomplishment.
All over the world. Yeah.
And you make them yourself. I mean, every time I've dropped in on you, I think I've seen you make one.
I put them together myself.
Yeah.
And my son makes parts for them.
That would be
Ron. Ron, yeah.
Ronnie and Ron at BMF Tool and Die. What's the contact number for, in case anybody's interested in a capo?
Well, we're trying to get a website up. It'll be www.bmfcapos.com.
Capos, plural?
Yes.
bmfcapos.com. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind. I know we have quite a few musicians listening to the show, and that if you want the real thing, the real capo, because I know a lot of musicians that complain about their capos either not lasting very long or not really doing the job they're intended for.
We give a lifetime warranty with them. So anyone buys them, if they don't like them or they don't do what they want them to do, they can send them back and get the money back any time.
That's as good an offer as can be made.
Can't beat that at all.
And I know that even the Ralph Stanley Band uses them, don't they?
They do.
Yeah,
they sure do. Banjo player, guitar player.
Drop some names. Who else has got them?
Well, Rob McCory has got them with the Dale McCory Band.
Right.
And Pete Warnick, Herb Peterson. Herb's not well known around here, but he's well known on the West Coast. He does a lot of playing for the movies and cartoon shows.
I've certainly heard
very
the
good musician. Yeah. So
well, I know I've seen a few of the plaques up at BMF Tool and Dive. Some pretty impressive souls that buy this. Yeah. Not only buy them, but swear by them. So
right,
not swear at them, but swear by them.
So. Well, they'll give you an instrument a better tone. Better tuning, and you don't have to retune every time you put it on or take it off or move it from one position to the other.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the fact that you have a lifetime, I mean, I keep wanting to buy, like, okay, this is the set of pots and pans I'm going to have. It's going to last me forever. I really spent a lot of money on these things, and you know, nothing lasts forever.
Mm-hmm. Except for the hole under that hot spot there, right?
Yes. But, the fact that you can make that kind of a guarantee is
Well, they're made out of stainless steel. It's good material, and
they're made by a true tool and die maker.
Right,
and that's a big
true
difference.
Craftsperson,
true craftsperson in that sense, a man that knows his mathematics,
and also knows some music here.
Yes, as a matter of fact, that's where we're going. I think you wanted us to play song number two. Give us a little bit of background on that song.
Redwood Hills, Gordon Lightfoot song, and the country gentleman made it famous, and I have a banjo player playing with me on it that played with the country gentleman, so I was glad to get him playing on it.
Who might that be?
Greg Corbett.
Ah, good.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Here we go. This is from his album, Here It Is.
Alone on a rainy day. I could not change for any man. I tried to comfort her, but she would not be still. I'll not forget the day when Mother Nature cried on the Redwood Hill. I'll not forget the day when Mother Nature cried on the Redwood Hill.
And that was Ronnie Brown and Redwood Hills from the CD, Ronnie Brown, Here It Is. And I think we've got something else going in the works here.
Yes, something I'm sneaking up on Audrey. She wasn't quite prepared for how to introduce this. I'll just sort of play this off. You always introduce me as the bard of WCOM. So this is me trying to live up to my reputation. I managed to talk Ronnie Brown here into backing me up on a what I would consider sort of a bluegrass direction in one of the poetic pieces I wrote. And this was written years ago for the township of Lizard Lick. I'm friends with Mayor Charles Wood there. And he wanted me to write the Lizard Lick poem, and this actually got me nominated as Poet Laureate, that dubious honor for Lizard Lick.
So I should put that into the introduction, and, you know, it's Bard of WCOM and Poet Laureate of Lizard Lick.
There we go. That got me some interesting responses from people when they read that in the paper. But the reason I say it goes in the bluegrass direction is because in this case it actually goes in the liquor still direction. It was Lizard Lick is a township that was named after a liquor still. Formerly, when it was just the liquor being sold, it was referred to as Lizard Liquor. And then when they created the town, they said, well, we better cut that tail off and call it Lizard Lick. And that's
so
how
Lizard
Lick
got its tail.
You cut off the tail, man, but they didn't know it grows back. Mm-hmm. And therein lies the deal. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I've talked Ronnie into coming up with an original piece of music here. We practiced very briefly this morning at BMF Tool and Die, and we're going to give it to you now. This is a piece I wrote many moons ago called Lizard Lick to commemorate the township of Lizard Lick. The mayor's lost his lizards. 'Tis sad a tale, but true. So I bid your attention as I ponder it through. It seems he awakened one morning to find the lizards all gone. Now is the town drunk in mourning without so much as a song. To name this town after lizards seemed a fool thing to do, except that these dwellers gave it national view. The mayor in his drunken state, after ordering one more, said he wished the story to relate so that all could know the score. These habitants were undermined by all except a few, and having been the town's elect, I knew not what to do. Industrious this lot was not, with one annual exception. And though it seemed no trade was got, that thought was our deception. All year long until July they bask beneath the sun, till Independence Day draws nigh, then swift a race they run. Well, as you see, that day draws near, and I but wish I were a wizard. For when the hour drums, I fear it will be a race without a lizard. Said I, but could you not entreat these reptiles to return before this lesson in defeat bids itself too late to learn? He gave no answer then or there, just wandered from my sight. And when I saw his face again, it reflected sheer delight. Said he, when I got home to sober up, I found a lizard in my coffee cup. Their leader, no less, who then said to me, there is really no need for us lizards to flee. Now here comes the bargain which I will not repeat. Leave my fellow tales to sunning in this lizardly heat. Otherwise Mayor Upchurch may again take the race and cause these fair crossroads just a little disgrace. Well, as their mayor I pondered and then sought their advice and felt rather dismayed when they encouraged my vice. They said, be it the liquor that inspires this linking, so we lizards encourage that you stick to your drinking. And so yet another independence was won by a township of lizards for their place in the sun.
That is absolutely great.
Thank you. And
the
mayor did want me to include that he's not really the town drunk. He just knows him rather well. They've been seen together quite often. So I thought I'd make it a point to add
that. I was wondering about that.
Ronnie, that was extraordinary. Thank you for the music on that. And, of course, I'm thanking Ronnie while he's off mic. Get back on that mic there, Ronnie. I like that piece of music. Where'd that come from, man? That was a catchy little tune.
It came from his connection with the instrument.
It came from that bluegrass, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of it came from Little Shine.
not lately.
Not lately, okay.
Well, I don't know. What is this picture on the back of the CD?
That is your...
That of your Uncle Vernon.
Uncle Vernon.
Yes, yeah, Uncle Vernon. Got some big there pot next
sitting by an authentic right. liquor still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love of his life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen a much larger version of that picture at your Uncle Ralph's place.
I was thinking that... I remember reading some book about economics and depressions and so on and so forth. And one of the advice that was given in the book was to have a still, because something that always sells, regardless of how poor the economy is alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you want to ensure that you've got some means of livelihood... You should own a still.
Yes, occasionally we need that altered state it can provide.
So I'm not sure. I thought rather than doing that, I thought that if I really wanted to shore up for the future, I'd get a couple of cases of Jack Daniels and stick them in the basement and just use it for trade. Mainly because, nothing against Jack Daniels, but I don't particularly care for it.
Ah,
so
I see. So you're not
I wouldn't
be tempted.
Drink it myself.
Right.
Anyway, so much for moonshine. I mean, it's got quite an influence on the culture here.
Yes, it does. Tell us about...
Well, alcohol was illegal.
Right.
You know, and...
And we always love that stuff, yeah.
So, you know, they had a steal on most every creek.
Right. And that's that's what's behind NASCAR, mm-hmm. unless I'm mistaken, is that's...
Very
that
true.
Was the whole thing of racing these vehicles to get away from the revenuers. Mm-hmm.
Sort of a Thunder Road version of people's lives.
Which is kind of it's mm-hmm. exciting and interesting to know where some of these things start.
That's how the kids first got wind of souped-up cars.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, they haven't let go since, have they?
That's true.
So then they made a whole industry out of racing the cars.
Mm-hmm. So now they're...
And I've always said, you know, when whiskey was illegal... you didn't have to go as far to get it. Go a couple of miles.
I like that.
A couple of miles in any direction, you could get it.
You'd hit it still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know there were certainly some influences, and of course, bluegrass has a great influence on I should say that the illegal liquor had somewhat of an influence on bluegrass music.
A lot of songs have been written about moonshine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A way of maintaining the storytelling among the mountain cultures. The ones that didn't come down the hill very often.
Well, that's, music has always been a means of communication beyond getting into, the operas and so on and so mm-hmm. forth. But the basic music of the people in revolutions, in undercover operations, it's a way of communicating a message.
Absolutely, the folk music.
So, I mean, the black music of the South during the times of slavery.
It brought us the blues, gave us rock and roll. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were telling stories
sure.
that the, the Mr. Boss Man wasn't actually getting all the time because music is revolutionary.
And ultimately, I think, despite all the television we have... songs are still one of the strongest ways for people to remember a story and pass it on.
Yes.
Well, it's also the fact that you're dealing with music being an integral part of what it is to be human.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can see this when people who are suffering from Alzheimer's and various dementias will remember the songs.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I mean, I've worked with some people, and you start to play the music, and they'll get the words and start up to dance.
Like a catchy tune.
About that.
Right. It's amazing. That they'll remember. They may not remember their children's names, but they will remember the song.
What would you say was the crux of influence behind your album?
Fun. It's
obviously,
a fun album.
I mean, are there any songs on it that you wrote?
No.
Okay, so it's
I have
songs.
Written a few songs, but none of them made the cut.
And that was your own judgment.
It
That's
doesn't
interesting.
Seem like it would be that hard, but it's hard for me.
A bit of a perfectionist there, I see.
Yeah, well.
Well, I've heard you play some of those tunes at BMF on those Monday nights, and what you play sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are often our own worst critic.
Yes, I know. I'm definitely that of my work.
Because it's something we have a picture of what we want it to be. You know, we're measuring up to what our idols are, the people who have influenced us. And we're never going to measure up to the image we have in our mind. We just have to say, hey, I have a voice and it's all right. I can put it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
You never know how other people will react. Maybe it'll be exactly what they need to hear.
I want to mention to anybody that listened last week when I was supposed to be doing a Jen Chapin interview, the girl overslept in Brooklyn and completely slept. She was on tour and used that as her excuse, but she apologized profusely, and we're actually going to have her on the 31st.
Okay, great.
May
That's
31st,
great.
So yeah. I sent her an email and said, what's up, girl? Where were you this morning? And she went, oops.
But I was telling... we might have our person here.
This may be Jimmy Cameron calling in. He's with the Ralph Stanley Band.
Good morning. This is WCOM. You're on the air.
Good morning. This is Jimmy Cameron with Ralph Stanley and the Clinch Mountain Boys.
I was hoping that was you.
Finally got
right
up.
On time.
Yeah, finally got up, he said. You hear that?
Finally got up, yeah.
So you guys are coming to the Carolina Theater on the 19th.
May the 19th. Big show right there in Durham at the Carolina Theater.
Absolutely, and I'm hoping to be your stage manager, but it hasn't been confirmed yet, so I'll let you folks know. Give us a little bit of a background on yourself. First of all, you're the lead, you are the bass player for the group, and you have been for quite some time.
Yeah, matter of fact, this coming weekend will be my 2-year anniversary with Ralph.
So is that?
Mighty happy to be here.
I 2-year anniversary? But why was I thinking it went back a lot longer than that?
No. Well, I've been playing a lot longer than that.
Okay, that's. I think I was probably confusing. I know I met you at BMF Tool and Die on those bluegrass nights they have there, and right. when you were introduced to me as being with Ralph Stanley, I just automatically assumed there was a longer history. And then I found out that you live right around the corner from me, so we're practically neighbors.
Yeah, practically neighbors
in Broadway.
Good old Harnett County.
Yeah. I'm glad those winds missed us, at least to some degree,
really.
Not by much.
Yeah, didn't miss by much, but very fortunate.
Yes, indeed. So give us a little history on the band, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, as far as my part of it, I had been a mandolin player for years and years, or always tried to. And then thanks to David Parmelin, Continental Divide, he needed a bass player, and I wanted a job. So I picked up the bass about, 4 or 5 years ago. And we had a pretty good run of it. I stayed with him about 1.5 to 2 years, something like that, and things kind of slowed down. So I came home for 1.5 years, went back to welding and working a day job, and just kind of forgot about it. And then out of the clear blue sky, as they say, Ralph called and needed a guy to fill in on the bass. His bass player, Jack Cook, was sick. He'd been with him for 39 years.
My goodness.
Whoa.
And so we went out and filled in, and then I got hemmed into driving the bus because his bus driver wanted to be off again. And anyhow, long story short, I came back, and he offered me both jobs. So I've been there ever since.
Been there ever since. And is it you that who's the bus driver?
He is.
Okay, you drive the bus as well.
He's the bus driving bass player.
Mm-hmm. I do all the work.
Yeah, from the sound of it, yeah. So,
you've been playing music
a lifetime, for somebody like me. So it's a pleasure to play with an American icon such as
no doubt. Yeah.
Of course, he's got a grandson coming up, Nathan, that's actually putting this show on in Durham, and he's really got a lot of good things going for him. He's got a traditional country band. He just released an album with, I think it's 21 cuts of traditional country music, and he's got all the Grand Ole Opry stars and plus on there with him. And
is he going to be there? Kind of,
yeah, this is really what all this is about. On May the 19th, it'll be Nathan will have his traditional country act there.
As an opening or as part of the show?
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
I think the opening act will probably be Ben Jones, who was the mechanic on the Dukes of Hazzard TV show.
I'll be done.
Cooter. Yeah, Cooter. He's got a little country band, and they'll be there with us. And then, of course, Nathan, and then, you know, Ralph down in the Clinch Mountain Boys. Mm-hmm. I would say we'll close it out. So be a big night of entertainment.
No
there.
Doubt. I know the word around the Carolina Theater itself is everyone's looking forward to it.
Well, Ralph's played there, but I think it's been several years.
It's been a number of years, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the last time I was there.
Looking forward to being there. It's always a good venue. I've been there several times and never had the chance to play, so this is my time.
It's a great old building. I think you'll enjoy playing there. The acoustics are very good, too, and I'm sure they'll have a great sound system set up for you.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. But I'd like to invite all the folks to come out. It's on a Thursday night, May the 19th. I think it's 7 o'clock showtime.
Absolutely. And do you have a website? Does the band have a website?
Go to NathanStanleyEntertainment.com.
Okay.
And it should have all the details of shows. What he's doing is some package shows with himself and Ralph. So we'll be doing several of these type shows this summer. Of course, Nathan he's the Clinch Mountain Boys rhythm guitar and lead singer right on. So he'll also be with us. And
fantastic.
Just a good show.
Jimmy, you were telling me about playing at Carnegie Hall.
Yeah. That's a good one. Let's hear about that.
Well, I tell folks I went from a welding helmet in Sanford to 6 weeks later. We were at Carnegie Hall, and it was just a culture shock for me, but quite an honor.
Tell us about the Steve Martin incident you ran into there.
Yeah, Steve. Of course, we were there with him and the Steep Canyon Rangers. And one thing that I really remember was he really seemed kind of nervous, I think.
That's Steve Martin, the comedian, folks.
Yeah, Steve Martin, the comedian, and I think he was... I wouldn't say out of his element because he's a heck of a picker and all.
Oh, yeah.
He really was concerned on doing everything just right. I remember him, you know, just trying to get every little detail worked out just right. But he did a great job.
I know he's done some picking in these parts with Mike Cross.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got a lot of Carolina connections, I gather. But just a heck of a nice guy. Really, really nice, humble guy.
It's interesting to hear how somebody legendary in the arts can still be a little nervous backstage. I don't think that ever leaves you.
Well, I've always thought if you didn't get a little bit nervous, maybe it was time to do something different.
I agree. If them butterflies aren't present, leave the stage.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're there for. And I know I do.
Same here.
Maybe not so much nervous as excited, you know. I'm ready to get out there and get with it.
I think it's a good dose of both, yeah. There's definitely some nerves in there.
Yeah, sure is. It used to be really bad.
Calm down a bit, huh?
Yeah, calm down a little bit. And put the nose down and get the job done. But, that was quite an experience be able to play Carnegie Hall.
No doubt, that's quite an honor. As a matter of fact, I ran a bar in New York City for a while on 105th and Broadway. It was called the Blue Star Bar. And I remember walking by. I do a lot of narration with symphonies. And I remember putting both my hands on Carnegie Hall saying, I'll be back. So I'm hoping that's a promise I can keep.
I would love to go back one more time. I don't know if that'll ever happen.
Oh, something tells me you and the Ralph Stanley Band can pull that off.
Well, it was, you really can't explain. When you sit and think about all the people that has played Carnegie Hall and all the great artists that hadn't got to play Carnegie Hall.
I agree.
And got some old plowboy like me up there. It just don't seem right. But of course, I was there with Ralph.
You pulled it off, bud.
More than deserving to be there.
You going to be back this weekend to play with us?
No, actually, we got a pretty busy week. We'll be working in the studio tomorrow up in Virginia, and then we leave Thursday and go up into upstate New York for Friday and Saturday, and come back to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania Sunday, and Suffolk, Virginia Monday.
Goodness.
So I'd say it'll be Tuesday getting home. I'll miss the old machine shop Monday night again.
And that machine shop is BMF Tool and Die, folks.
BMF Tool and Die.
In Broadway.
Great place to be.
It is.
On Mondays.
You can learn things that you didn't know and a lot of things that you didn't want to know.
Exactly. And some things you shouldn't know. Well, next time you're in town long enough, since we're neighbors, let's make it a point to get together.
We'll do it. Sure will.
Well, listen, I appreciate you calling in. And
yeah,
give us a...
I appreciate you having us on. And we'll be talking to you before the show.
Absolutely.
I'm kind of... trying to get Ralph or Nathan one.
I'm kind of hoping to build a show around you between now and the 19th. So we'll...
Great.
Maybe in a couple of weeks from now, we'll have you on here.
Be a good deal. Sure
good.
Will.
Looking
well,
forward to it.
Take care and enjoy it.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Bye-bye.
And that was Jimmy Cameron, bass player for the Ralph Stanley and the Clench Mountain Boys. For Ralph Stanley and the Clench Mountain Boys.
That's great.
I keep wanting to say Ralph Stanley Band because I think that's what's on the poster. Why did they leave out? What happened to the Clench Mountain Boys? Did they go back to the hills?
Back to Clench Mountain. Well, sounds like it's going to be a great show there.
Oh, if I wasn't working it, I'd go watch it.
And the time of the date of the show again is?
The day of the show is the 19th.
The 19th.
I think you said it was a Thursday.
Right.
The
It'll
19th.
Be a good show.
Yeah. Shows start there at 8 p.m.
So, terrific.
So come and support the Carolina Theater, the sponsors of this particular show, which is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, 103.5 FM. That's WCOM. Just figure we got to give this place all the plugs we can get so we can get that support for freedom of speech. This is the station where you will get no corporate speak.
Freedom of expression is essential to a free society. That's my mantra.
You said it, girl.
Yes.
And my mantra, I'm still sticking to the old Robin Williams mantra of politicians are like diapers. They need to be changed often and for the same reason. So keep that in mind. So let's play another tune and then we'll go back to chatting. Pick us another tune.
Number nine.
What's the name
Simon Crutchfield's Grave.
Aha. Uh-huh. And anything you want to say? Anything you want to add to that?
Let's see. The first ones I heard do that were the Wilburn Brothers.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And a couple of bluegrass groups have recorded it since. But I think the Wilburn Brothers probably came out with it.
Well, next time I have Ronnie Brown here in the studio, I'm going to have him do some live singing. Originally, we were supposed to have Ronnie Cox joining him today, but Ronnie chickened out, and this is the second time he did that, and he did that last minute. So, Ronnie, if you're listening, I'm going to be talking about you if you don't make the next show. So,
warning, a dangerous man over
Ronnie
here.
Cox chickened out. Let everybody know.
Well, let's listen to this music.
Riley kept an eye out on the place, and no one knew just when this episode came to an end. They only knew of Simon Crutchfield's grave. Mary Crutchfield, you should be ashamed. Get on your knees and pray your soul be saved. Riley Harper, if the devil is to blame, why can't you drive by Simon Crutchfield's grave? A blizzard came across the moor, and all the crops were sold out, none were saved. And the only way to get to town was a wagon road that wound around through the woods by Simon Crutchfield's grave. Now some folks say that they laid there at least 6 months or more, or an old fur trapper found their bones. He claimed they wrote their epitaph upon the cabin door, just as it reads today on marble stone. Mary Crutchfield, here lies Mary Crutchfield. She betrayed the love that Simon gave. Riley Harper, here lies Riley Harper, 'cause he couldn't drive by Simon Crutchfield's grave.
And that was Ronnie Brown and Simon Crutchfield from the CD. Here It Is.
I like
that. That was great.
Thank you.
And Here It Is, he's extending that bluegrass to whoever buys the album right there in the picture. It's like, Here It
Yes.
Is. We found the bluegrass. Here It Is.
Bluegrass on the front and the still on the back.
And obviously, if you chew on that grass, you can play any instrument you pick up. This is what I'm thinking. This is how bluegrass happened.
No, not with that kind of grass. It happened with the kind of stuff on the back.
That might be. Yes. Yeah, right.
Anyway.
Give us a little scoop on some of the folks that play at BMF, as well as I want to run down the Charlie Daniels scenario a little bit.
Okay, Russell Palmer plays bass with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he started Charlie Daniels playing the guitar. Russell had an old guitar, and Charlie was over at his house one day, and Russell got it out and showed him a few chords. And
what's the name of that town where you were?
Gulf.
Gulf, that's right, because you took me there, and I saw the old house.
Yeah, yeah, I showed you the house where Charlie lived when he was there.
Matter of fact, this morning on the drive-in, Ronnie Brown and I drove together. I suggested that we do a little documentary. It might not be more than 20 minutes, but go to Charlie Daniels' old haunt and interview some of the people that he knew, and including this gentleman that inspired him, and come up with a little independent film to
be great
to put into the
well,
into all the contests.
Tell who Charlie Daniels is.
I'll let Ronnie do that.
Charlie's a well-known country music singer. He's been doing that for a number of years.
What's the name of that song? Where
Devil Went Down to Georgia.
There we go.
I think was his most popular song.
Right.
And so he's done real well.
Oh, yeah. Charlie, yeah. And from what I understand, Charlie himself has occasioned to walk into your BMF Tool and Die
well,
and join
no,
in the
he's
plan.
Never been in there.
Or is it just his band members?
We've called him when we were down there playing. Russell has.
Uh-huh.
They're still good friends. Charlie played on the Grand Ole Opry and had Russell come out and play with him.
All right.
So that was, I think it was real nice.
So he still stays in touch with the homeboys. So
oh, yeah. Sure does.
He seems like the genuine, the real thing when
you look at him. He is. Sure is. So we've got a couple of down there that's been playing on the Grand Ole Opry or that has played on the Grand Ole Opry.
And this is just people that come by BMF every Monday night and then just join the jam session. And occasionally when I'm not sleep-deprived, I go and tell a few stories and get some of this beautiful backup.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to try and do that more frequently. I really want to build some kind of a show.
Well, always glad to have you.
Thanks.
How long have these Monday nights been going on?
Since 81.
Whoa.
1981.
Yeah,
whoa.
Since 81.
I remember the first time he invited me over when I first got to meet you through your uncle.
Right.
You said, come on by and just join us. We're gonna be doing a little jamming. And I figured, okay, it's just going to be four or five guys sitting around, and maybe I'd do some storytelling and so on. And I got over there that night. There must have been about 30 or 40 cars out there, and I figured, jeepers, how big is this band? Not realizing they had a built-in audience.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And that was all in Broadway, so I found the gold in Broadway.
We have all ages playing. We had a little kid down there about 10 years old last week playing.
Amazing.
He's doing good, and I'm glad to see the young people.
I know you've got two girls that come by there and play.
Yeah, one 16 years old, and got a couple of brothers, I think, 14, 15 years old, and they're doing good. I hear they're going to go to Indiana and play, so They're doing very good.
So what's going on this weekend? I heard you mention that to Jimmy.
Well, we play at shop. Sometimes we get together on Sunday afternoon, a few of us, and he's usually comes over, you know, if he's not on the road.
Well, so, I might be able to make it by Sunday because that's not like a Monday for me.
Right. That's a wise statement.
I did stick my head in one Sunday, and him and Ronnie Cox were jamming.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's something about bluegrass, and as I had been talking earlier before we went on the air, this is my introduction to bluegrass, and it's almost a culture, actually. It's fairly recent, and what I'm noticing is it's all over the place. I mean, especially in Carolina, wherever you go, it seems somebody is connected to the bluegrass family, and there really is a sense of family in the fact that you've got the youngins coming in, and they are welcomed to come and encouraged and to learn the music and to be part of this whole thing. And I would bet that on any given night in this state, and perhaps neighboring states, I don't know, there is some bluegrass group going on, playing.
No doubt.
Jamming on a regular basis on that night, you know, and have probably been doing it for years.
I agree. Back in the 70s, Mayor Charles Wood himself, of Lizard Lick at the time when I first met him, had his own radio show, and it was called the Orange Blossom Special, and it was all about bluegrass.
So. I've got to also say WCOM has a show, the Lonesome,
High Lonesome
Radio Hour.
Right. Explain that to
it's
us.
On you, Sunday, right.
You gave us the history behind the term High Lonesome.
Well, sometimes people call bluegrass High Lonesome. I don't know really why, but I just think probably because, you sing it with a high pitch. In a lot of cases.
It's not because they had too much of that moonshine and we're too high to socialize?
Yes, sir. And it has a lonesome sound to it, I think.
Yeah. Whenever I hear High Lonesome, makes me think of Hank Williams. Just seems to be his flavor.
That's just my own opinion. I really don't know.
I think I've heard something similar mentioned before, so I'm sure your pitch is on the money there somewhere.
Yeah, I've tried to get people to get a real... true definition of what bluegrass is, if you want to say what is bluegrass music. And I guess the closest I've come or have found is it's Southern folk music with using mandolin and string instruments, basically.
More like mountain folk, that would be my interpretation.
Well, I think you can actually trace it back to Ireland and Scotland.
That's very true, yeah.
I heard an old man one time playing a fiddle, and he had it tuned, and it sounded an awful lot like bagpipes.
Right, right.
So,
So the instruments, I mean, you don't generally equate drums with bluegrass music.
No.
It's string instruments, generally.
Yes, yes.
And then every once in a while, somebody will throw a harmonica in there.
You might get a lot of foot tapping.
Sometimes.
I know John Santa does that. He goes from bluegrass groups all over the place, and he will throw a harmonica in there. And he talked a little bit about the fact that first time he did it, people looked at him a little bit like, what are you doing with a harmonica in a bluegrass band? But he's playing the rhythm of the song. So
yeah, it's acoustic music.
Right, right.
I know, listening to Mike Cross, who does a mix of everything in his music, but whenever he does anything going folky or bluegrassy, he'll tap with his feet. There's never a drummer in the show, but he does plenty of foot tapping. It's amazing how he can do all the things he does. To have a body that knows all these different instructions at the same time, I'd be messing up left and right.
Yeah, he keeps rhythm going with his feet.
He does.
And, I saw him put on a show one time, and he did that and played the fiddle and sang all at the same time.
And sometimes that rhythm is like a drum solo, while he's doing all these other things.
Right.
He must have been meant to be two or three people. That's all I can figure.
Now, I think that's a perfect answer to quite a few people I've known. That's how they are the way they are. They're meant to be two or three people.
Just got yoked into one. That's it.
Right.
The yoke's on you. Look out.
Go ahead. I've known a few people that I thought if you could take this person and that person and the other person and put them together as one person, you'd have quite a dynamo.
Either that or one hell of a cocktail.
Exactly.
Okay. So going back to bluegrass, which would you like to pick as your strongest bluegrass orientation on the album?
the strongest one.
Mm-hmm. Since we've been
you
training.
Know, people, different people tell me that they like one or the other of them. Everybody don't seem to like the same ones.
Well, I'm just wondering what you feel.
What do I like?
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to say, too.
I mean, it's all good. I'm just wondering if...
Probably like them all.
I'm just wondering if you feel that one represents bluegrass perhaps stronger than the others, or have we already played it?
We may try number 8. I believe that's...
Catfish John?
Catfish John,
That sounds like something. Sounds like something you do out in the river, catch a fish, and play some guitar.
Okay, let's see if you all think this is bluegrass. Definitely sounds like bluegrass to me.
Catfish John, yeah, it kind of gives
you that kind of stuff where you just start moving with it.
Gives you the whole ambiance.
Thank you.
I want to remind people out there one more time: the Suzuki Japan Relief concert. You can find at www.suzukijapanrelief.com to find out how to support that, how to go to the show on May 21st at 4 o'clock, coming up at Page Auditorium, Duke's Page Auditorium. Support that if you can. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater on WCOM 103.5 FM. And we're here in the studio with Ronnie Brown. We've been playing his new album, Here It Is, with a picture of that bluegrass in the clay pot. We're still not quite sure about that. But I want some.
You don't know what it is, you just want some.
That's right. If I'm very different when I come back, you'll know what happened.
Actually, that's onion weed that had been spray painted.
Now we have the truth.
So we have to bring some for him and let's see what he does with
just it. When I was starting to dream about becoming a musician. Jeepers. No, that's a beautiful album, and we need to get it out there in the marketplace to sell in some venues other than where you're jamming, which I'm sure is a good place for it, but... We need to find out if there's anybody out there listening to this bluegrass show and you know a place where Ronnie might send his album. We're trying to get some more exposure for this, so keep us in mind. You can contact me at claudioarts.com. That's claudioarts.com. And I can connect you with Ronnie. Or Ronnie, give us the capo information and your contact.
Well, you'd have to call me 919-258-6813.
What do you want him to call you? Be friendly.
Something nice. Often. That's a good one.
And he makes the world's best capos at his BMF Tool and Die Shop. And
call him when dinner's ready.
That'll be www.bmfcapos.com.
And capo is CAPOS.
Yes.
So what are you fellas having in line for this week and this coming weekend? What are you all going to do?
As far as the concert at BMF Tool and Die, what's coming up on Sunday?
Well, just a few of us usually get together on Sunday. Monday night's a big night there.
Think Ronnie's going to show up there?
He will show up there.
Okay, Ronnie. Next time you miss a show here, Ronnie, I'm going to talk about you.
The other Ronnie.
The other Ronnie. Ronnie Cox, yes. And we hope his son Ron isn't working too hard at the Tool and Die Shop all by himself today.
He's probably listening.
Good. Yeah. And I hope the folks at the hardware store are tuning us in. Get a little Broadway exposure on the down-home turf.
And what's online for you, Claudio? What are you up to these days? What's the thing, if you're not going to be there on the 21st, what is the thing that Bob's doing in Apex?
Oh, that's right. There's some sort of a, I think it's authors promoting their books, and it's not in Apex.
It's at a
winery.
It's the wine, book signing and wine tasting.
Book signing and wine tasting, and there's some cheese involved, yep.
Right. So if, yeah.
So that might be
like
where
be
I,
fun.
That might be where I go, and I'll be the guy under the water fountain with the wine and cheese.
And that's on the 21st. That's not this weekend, though.
The 21st, which is the same day as the concert.
Right. And if you people want to find out what's going on in Apex, there's a lot going on there, courtesy or instigated by, or the person who is involved with a lot of it is Bob Crowley.
Bob Crowley, yes.
And if you just Google BOBCROWLEY, you will find out about all this good stuff that's happening.
He can tune you into all of it.
Including a jazz festival coming up in September, I think.
That's right. And they're still looking for musicians at this point, right. So anybody can apply. It's going to be a wide open thing. Ronnie, I want to thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a pleasure having you on, and I love that album. I've got my own signed copy.
Yeah, me too.
That's right.
Right. It's I'm really developing a bluegrass music library.
Right.
Indeed. And remember,
as well as books about it. And
absolutely.
I remembered the book that Dr. Tom Bybee wrote, which is called The Mandolin Case. Mm-hmm. And it's a murder mystery and a physician story and a bluegrass story. I think he calls it, it's a murder mystery solved by bluegrass musicians.
Hmm. Interesting. So all right. It must have taken place up in the hills.
Well, no, it's in some fictional county here in North Carolina.
Okay.
And it's The Mandolin Case by Dr. Tom Bybee.
Well, wonderful. Well, folks out there in Radioland, and John Paul's coming right up, so I want to thank you folks for tuning us in. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater here on WCOM 103.5 FM. Keep us tuned in, and we'll keep you turned on. Until next time, cheers.